our study that we have been on for the last several weeks that I've entitled Fear Not. And out of the Fear Nots, this was number 6. And it was Fear Not When Your Faith Is Tested. And as I begin this series, we begin in verse 3 because I felt like it was important for you to understand why when our faith is tested that there is a reason and a purpose behind it. And as I wrap up today looking at these, I'm going to jump ahead to verse 6 with the same idea in my mind of telling you there is a goal here that is important that you understand. And so when we go back and read 4 and 5 to wrap up, you'll understand exactly what is taking place and why I've done this. So in James chapter 1, beginning at verse 6, and then we'll back up to verse 4 here in a little bit. Okay, the reason that I'm doing this is I want you to understand what is taking place here. The testing of your faith produces patience. Part of the Greek meaning for the words patience means steadfastness. It means endurance. In our human makeup, our human nature, none of us want to hurt. Nobody likes pain. Nobody likes suffering. And yet, as Christians, as human beings, we experience all of those things. So we are given a choice in that experiment. We are given, as we go through those experiences and those things are happening to us, we can whine and bawl and complain to God, and or we can say, you know what, James tells me that I'm going to go through tough stuff. James tells me not to think that it should be strange or odd that I'm going to experience these kind of difficulties. And then he goes on here and he says, the other reason that your faith is being tested, the other reasons that you're going to endure and be steadfast is this. But he must ask for wisdom, and I'll share that with you in just a few moments. Wisdom in faith without doubting. God's willingness to help. So we'll get into this. This is going to include a self-examination, all right? So we'll get to this in a moment, but I want you to see the next sentence. For the one who doubts is like a billowing surge of the sea that is blown about and tossed by the wind. God doesn't want you to be blown about like the wind in your walk with him. See, patience is endurance. Patience is steadfastness. Patience is hanging in there. And he says your faith is going to be tested that you understand that you need to hang in there, that you need to endure, that you need to be patient. Because if you are not, you are going to be like that sea getting blown around. And there are Christians that are that way. There's no depth in their life. There's no depth in their walk. You know, when things are going good, they love the Lord. They're listening to worship music. Everything is great. You know, everything on the planet and the universe, everything is going wonderful. Isn't God great? And then as soon as there's a battle, as soon as there's a storm, as soon as there's something difficult, where's God? Why is this happening? Why am I going through this? What am I supposed to do about this? And they just fall apart. You see, it's really simple. Faith is simply just believing God, period. Not believing for an outcome, because outcomes are always different. Not believing that every prayer you pray is going to get answered the way that you want it answered. I have prayed enough prayers to tell you that that does not work that way. God has his own plan. God has his own agenda. God is sovereign. Remember I told you what it means to be God is sovereign? God does what God wants, period. Period. He won't check with you. He won't see if it's convenient. He won't ask you what your schedule is. That won't happen. It's just life. Tough stuff happens to everybody. And what he is telling us here, he says, if you don't come to a place in your walk with God that you can just simply believe him, No matter the outcome, no matter the circumstances, no matter what you're experiencing, you lack depth in your relationship with the Lord. Just believe him. Don't try to understand him. Don't try to make sense of everything, because things don't always make sense. Things happen that you won't understand what God is doing. And I used to believe, and I used to tell people, well, now don't worry, as time goes by, God will reveal that to you, and then you'll know why you went through that. I am going to tell you, I don't think so. At least for me. I've gone through some things in life, and I've looked back, and God, by his grace, okay, now I see, I get a better picture now, God. I can understand that, and there are some other things that I have gone through. I can tell you right now, I still have no clue to what I went through and why I went through it. Other than it was part of this process, part of him developing something in me that I was lacking. Because you see, that's the other part of this, is that James is going to say, you're lacking something, and God is going to deal with you to address whatever it is you're lacking in, and to bring it where he wants it to be. And so that when storms and battles and things come into our lives, instead of running around like Chicken Little, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, we stand and say, okay, I'm putting on my armor, and I am going to believe God no matter what. So with those things being said, Eric, if you would go ahead now and go up to verse 4. As I told you, there is a proving of our faith. It's a trustworthiness. It is a solid test. It's a test of our character. It is as we go through every struggle, as we go through every fight, that we come out still trusting and believing God, unwavering in our faith and our loyalty to him. Faith is not based on an outcome. In other words, I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to believe God for a certain outcome. And if it doesn't come out the way that I thought it was going to, I still am not going to let my faith waver. Not going to happen. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get pulled into that satanic lie that, well, you prayed for this, didn't go the way that you thought it was going to. Maybe God bailed on you. Maybe God didn't hear you. Maybe God's mad at you. You know, I mean, maybe you didn't have enough faith. That's one of the things that just, it just bothers me when I hear people, well, prayer wasn't answered because you didn't have enough faith. Show me where in the Bible where that is at. In other words, how do I know when I have enough faith? What's the measurement? What's the gauge? I don't know. I don't know if I'm there yet or not. Or if I just learn to trust God through good things and bad things, through tough times and through blessings, and I stay consistent knowing that he's in charge. That's the faith that he wants from us. So my faith isn't based on outcome. Like you, I have prayed prayers that were not answered the way that I thought they should have been. I have prayed prayers that have never been answered. And I have prayed prayers where God, by his grace, later on revealed to me and showed me that if he would have opened that door and answered the prayer that I wanted, things would have been a disaster. First Church in Des Moines, for those of you that have been Open Bible, you know, First Church in its heyday was the flagship of Open Bible. I mean, it was a church of 1,500 people in the Des Moines, growing huge and big. Of course, you know, unfortunately, it's not that way today. But Dawn and I, many years ago, went down to candidate to be the pastors. And the board came back and said, you know, thanks for the interview, da-da-da-da-da, but we don't think you're the one. So, okay. So in the meantime, we took another church. Well, they interviewed their last candidate. They didn't care for him. So I get a call saying, we changed our mind. We want you to be our pastor. And I said, well, too late. I already told the church that I'm taking that church, and that's what I'm going to honor that. You know, because it would have been, you know, it's one of them deals back in the day where if you're a pastor of First Church, you know, you were in. And I said, well, I can't do it. I already told these people. So, okay. Well, then I finally got to meet the pastor that followed me several years later. This also came through Ron Wilson, you know, our missionary buddy that passed away here last year, but Ron Wilson. Well, once he got there, he goes, buddy, it was terrible. All he did was fight with the board, fight with the elders, fight with people. He looked at me and he says, man, I'm telling you what, I wish you would have been the one that went there. And I walked away and said, thank you, Jesus. Listen, don't take every no personal. Don't take every unanswered prayer as though there's something wrong with you. How about you just trust God that no is better for you than the yes would have been? See, you have to, and this all comes about, you have to trust God in everything. In everything. So he goes on here. So not only then is it not based on the outcome, the other thing that I want to see, this is not about someone else's faith. This is about your faith. This isn't about that. And I want, just a reminder, I mentioned it last week, you know, because it says up in James chapter 1, verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So this isn't the testing of anybody else's faith. This isn't anybody else's battle. And that you've heard me say it 100 times, I'll say it probably another 100, is that what you're going through is for you, for the working of patience in you. What works in you won't work in me. And what works in me won't work with you. Everybody is individual. God created us as individuals, so he knows how to reach all of us. So this is about your faith. So now, in verse 4, notice what it says, and let patience, and of course this is going to have more of a detail of it because it's out of the Amplified, let patience have its perfect work. The word let here means this. It means to have itself a consequence. In other words, there is a consequence. The word, little word let. There is a consequence to the test. There is a reason for the test. There is a purpose to the test. He says, let it do its work. No, there is a consequence, a positive consequence as you're going through this. And in this case, it's helping develop patience in us. Then the word patience here is this. It's for men and women not wavering in their faith, even though they go through trials and sufferings. Having a patience for men and women of God, having an unwavering faith, even though they're going through trials and sufferings. And he just told us in verse 2, you will have trials, you will have temptations, you will have battles, you will have storms. You know, all of these things are part of life. All of these things are part of being human. And we live on this fallen, broken planet and this world that is just, full of chaos at times. He said, that's patience. The second meaning of patience is this, steadfastness, endurance, and consistency. So let endurance, which is correct here, let endurance have its perfect result and do through a thorough work. So the idea here, as you were looking at this thing, he said it is a steadfastness and endurance and a consistency. Unlike verse 6 that says, well, if you're not that way, then you're going to be this wave being tossed around by every wind. There has to be a consistency. Now, I came to the point, instead of trying to control God, which we try to do sometimes with our prayers, I just come to the point to say, I agree with you. Whatever you want to do, you can do. You're God. I'll cooperate now. You know, it's like getting, you know, maybe you've never been arrested. Few of us have. They have a way to make you cooperate. Isn't that right? You know, and after a while you've had enough, you say, okay, I will cooperate. Listen, God is doing that to me and you. He says, have you had enough? Yes. Are you going to cooperate? Whatever you say. I'm not fighting against you anymore. I'm not trying to bend your will to my will. I'm not trying to bend the way that I think to the way that you think. I'm not trying to force God to have my thoughts, because it doesn't work like that. You know that in Isaiah, my ways aren't your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. For as my ways are higher than your ways, so are my thoughts greater than your thoughts. He is the one that's in charge. And if you stop fighting with him, there's going to be a load off your shoulders. When I take those missions trips, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't really care. I mean, in a good way. Lord, you're in charge. If I die here, I die here. If you start a revival here, you start a revival here. You're in charge. I obey you. What do you want? It has taken me years to come to that place. I'm telling you, the best place you'll ever be is simply just believe. No matter the outcome, no matter the circumstances, no matter it, just believe. And if you can get there, you will not be the weed blowing in the wind or the wind blowing the wave around. You'll be steadfast. Goes on. Perfect work. Okay, it means something that is brought to an end or to its finish. To an end and to its finish. If there was something lacking that is necessary to complete it, then God is going to finish it. See, the other thing that he's telling us is that God has a plan for your life. It may not be some big dynamic thing that you're going to go run off to. But see, the plan for your life is to trust him. The plan for your life is to let him complete the work that he is doing in you. This isn't about what you're going to go off and do. This is about the life that you're going to live for Christ. There's things in us that were lacking when we came to him. There's things in us that are not pleasing to God. There are things in us that need to be worked on. And he is saying, I am going to work on you. What you are lacking in, I am going to deal with. And sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's painful. But he deals with it. And it's ultimately for our good. You know, it's like, your parents used to tell you before they hit you with this belt or the switch or the spoon or whatever your mom and dad used. You know, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. You are lying through your teeth. You are not going to feel any of this. Well, God is doing that to you and I. He says, I am going to correct you because there is something that is lacking in you, and I want you to mature into this kind of a believer. This is a whole process of maturing, and you can kick against it, you can fight against it, you can wrestle against it, but you are hurting yourself. He wants you to come to that place that says, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what, I trust you. Period. And that's a level of faith that he's the only one that can take us to. The next part of verse 4 is this, that you might be perfect. This isn't an idea of perfect like you would think perfect. It is the idea here, the word here, it simply really means fully developed as a Christian. Fully developed. You see, when you came to Christ, no matter how old you were a babe. You were a babe in Christ. I mean, that's it. You didn't know the lingo. You didn't know the Bible. You didn't know nothing. And over the years, you've grown in him. You've matured in him. You are no longer a baby in Christ. You are a mature Christian that should be able to teach the word, preach the word, minister the word, witness when the door opens up. That's all part of the maturing process and just believing God no matter what is taking place. He is telling us, he says, I want you to be developed, to be complete in all aspects, lacking nothing. To lack nothing is this, and it means to be left behind by one's rival in a race. That's the Greek meaning here. It doesn't say that up there, but that's what it is, lacking nothing. lacking nothing, left behind by one's rival in a race. You see, the idea that he's writing, James is writing, he says, this is like a race, and you've got to be fit, you got to be complete, you got to be ready to go. And you know, you guys have all seen athletes. You know, my gosh, those people are like this big around and muscles everywhere. You know, I like to watch the CrossFit games. I don't know if you've ever seen anyone who's ever seen the CrossFit games. And them women got arms bigger than mine. I mean, they're fit. And they don't mess around. Because they came there to do a job. They came there to take care of business. They came there not to clown around. They want to win. And he is telling you and I in this verse, he says, you know what? You're in competition here. You got an enemy. You got a foe named Satan who wants to discourage you, who wants to attack you, who wants to come against you, who wants to deceive you, who wants to trick you. He says, you got a foe. You got a rival. You're in a race. And I'm going to tell you what, you need to understand that, because when the Satan attacks and your faith is tested, you need to be able to understand that I don't want you lacking anything. Because when the attack comes, I want you to rise up in maturity and say, okay, God has this. It means to lack or to be inferior. Next part of verse 5 then. If any of you lacks wisdom, the word lack here means destitute of wisdom. Go ahead and go to 5 if you would, Eric. Gracias. If any of you lack wisdom, and I'm going to read that, and we'll mix it up here a little bit here, but let me give you the Greek here, and then we'll go back onto this. If any of you lack this wisdom, let him ask God. And I've got 3 Greek meanings here for the word godly wisdom here. Now, if any of you lack wisdom, now notice, to guide him through a decision or a circumstance, he is to ask of our benevolent God. He says, if you lack wisdom in anything, any circumstances, any decisions being made, anything that is taking place, things that you're thinking about, things that you are planning, you need to saturate heaven with prayer. Don't make a decision until you've consulted God first. You know, I was talking about, I'm not talking about retirement much anymore because all this COVID thing and all the other stuff that's going on that's right now, so I'm not talking about it much anymore. But I want to tell you something. I'm saturating it with prayer. I want what God wants for me. You know what? God may not want me to see palm trees off my porch. But it's nice, isn't it, Darlene? She lived in Sebring, you know. Kind of nice. You bet. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, but I've learned that God always had other thoughts than I've got. So what do? Saturate it with prayer. God, what do you want? See, I'm not so arrogant and so stubborn anymore that I'm just going to force my way and try to push something to happen. I am praying first, because I have made enough mistakes charging in like a bull in a china shop and making a mess of stuff. Been there, done that. I got to quit that. It's not good. You saturate it with prayer. God, is this what you want for us? Is this what do you want? Lord, I'm willing not to do that if you got this. You need to let me know. So I don't make decisions until I consult him first. A couple more here concerning the word wisdom. One, it is a godly wisdom. It is a godly wisdom. It is a knowledge and a patience to live a godly life, being the example that he wants us to be. It is a wisdom on how to interact with other people that are not Christians. That are not Christians. You know, we try to be a Christian witness to people as we can. It doesn't always work out that way. But that's why I try to do that way. And an ability to impart some biblical truth to people. And then the next part of 5, which I caught a little bit of here, he says, who gives to all liberally, and I love that, generously to all of those. God will give it out to you liberally. Another word is ungrudgingly, bountifully is another Greek word that is here. And it says without reproach. Without reproach is this, without being rebuked or blamed. I like the even better in given in a little more detail in the Greek. It also means this. It means without disgrace. In other words, what he's saying, he says, it's okay to go to God and tell God, I don't know what to do next. I need you. I don't know what the next step is, but you do. So I'm going to go to the one who knows. And that is God. You see, it is a godly wisdom that he is wanting us to receive. And he says, and you can do it without rebuke, blame, like I said, or disgrace, or for God finding fault in you. In other words, if Burles comes to God and I say, God, I don't know what to do, God isn't going to look at me and go, like, you idiot. What do you mean you don't know what to do? That's stupid. God doesn't do that to us. You see, God wants us to come to him and say, I don't know. Because you see, when I say I don't know, I'm saying, I don't know, but you do. I don't know, but you do. I may not know now. And I know in my life, I don't know about you guys, but Dawn and I have always been on a need-to-know basis. When God feels like I need to know, that's when I find out. And it's not before that. I don't know about you, but it don't come early for me. I get it when the door is opening, and I'm going, oh, okay, that must be the spot. In our arrogance and our pride, we know it all. And God hates that because we may know a lot of earthly things. I don't care about earthly things. I want to know what he wants for me. I want godly direction. I want godly wisdom. And he will never rebuke you, never say anything when you come and ask. It says that he will give it. And I read you in 6, there's some conditions there. He will give it if you don't doubt. Go ahead and go back to 6 then, Eric. So now when you ask for that wisdom, so look at, you're asking in faith without doubting. I'm not believing God for anything other than to trust him for whatever direction he wants to do with my life or church or whatever he wants to do. That's just, you know, just trust him. That's all you got to do without doubting. And God's willingness to help. I know that. God wants to help me. It may not always be the timing and the things that I want it to be, but he says, God wants to help me. I just need to slow myself down a little bit and then just allow God to do the work that he wants to do. And see, if you don't do this, if you pray and you doubt, and then he says, what happens is you're like a bellowing surge in the sea. You're just kind of going to get blown around from here and blown around from there. And I don't want to be blown around anywhere. I want to be steadfast. I want to be immovable. I want to stand. Just like it says in Ephesians, put on the armor of God and do all that you can do then to stand. I want to be like that. I don't want to be the weed blowing in the wind. All right, let me close up. 5 things. 5 thoughts that I have here. If you are lacking anything, okay, now this is on you. You see, this is an honest assessment of yourself and your own life. Can you honestly look at yourself and know the places that you may be lacking in? Now, don't ask your spouse, just a thought. Ask God, but don't ask your spouse. Just throwing that out as a thought, okay? Lord, what am I lacking in? What do you see in me that needs to be touched, that needs to be changed, that needs to be increased or decreased? You see, this is an honest self-assessment in your life by the power of the Holy Spirit to identify in your life something that God may want you to take care of and deal with. So with that being said, I'm going to summarize verses 2-4, and really 2-4 basically is a checklist of all the things that we have just talked about faith. The first one was this: you will encounter trials and temptations, period. Welcome to the world. Welcome to the human race. It is what it is. But you and I are charged with, how are we going to respond? Mad, angry, bitter, disappointed, or like James said, count it all joy when you go and fall into these things. The second part of that checklist is this: your faith will be tested and it will be proved. It's going to be tested. I mean, James, well, I love that in verse 2. He says, knowing this, your faith will be tested. It's like, this is a fact. This is a fact. There's no exemptions. You know, you can't draw, you know, you can't, you know, draw a card and pass go and collect $200 and then you don't go through it. It doesn't work that way with God. You will be tested. The third one, the test teaches us endurance, steadfastness, and patience. I know it's hard, and I am a person that wants to know why. And I need to come back to this when I'm going through something and realizing, yes, it's a test, but God's producing something in me. And what he's producing is this: endurance, steadfastness, and patience. The fourth thing, you have to allow the test to do its job. I just read that to you. Let patience have its perfect work. You have to allow the test to do its job, to do its work. And that is work that is in you. It is work that is through you. It is something that he is accomplishing in your character as a believer that God wants to see done. And the fifth and final one is this: know that there is a purpose. There is an outcome for the development of your faith. Now notice, so you lack nothing. See, he cares that much for you that he says, I want you to be complete. I want you to be well-rounded. I want you to be a man or a woman of faith. And if you don't have the wisdom to handle it, then you come to me and I will give you the wisdom to handle it, because I'll take care of it, knowing that there is a purpose and an outcome for our development, lacking nothing. I asked Molly, you know, it's interesting because I never talk with any of the people that do the music prior to the worship time. And I cannot tell you how many times I've had a song in mind and they'll say, oh, I already thought of that. So when Molly was going down, you probably heard me, I looked at her and I said, well, do me a favor and pull out How Great Thou Art, you know, while you're sitting over there. And she goes, I already got it. I love how God works. I'm going to ask you to stand, or you can stay seated. What I really want you to do is I want you to take a moment in prayer. Lord, where am I lacking? Again, this isn't a rebuke. It isn't God pointing fingers out. Here's your faults, Burles. Here's your faults. Here's that. You know, this isn't that about that. This is an honest assessment of you looking at yourself and go, Lord, you know, I've come up short sometimes. And I know I'm lacking in this. But I don't want to lack in faith. I don't want to be incomplete. I want to be the man. I want to be the woman that you want me to be. And I need your help with that. So let's sing that chorus as you're praying that, as we sing it, and let's sing How Great Thou Art.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made, I see I hear
let's sing that chorus. We got help. That's okay, Lisa. He can stay up there. We'll give him a microphone. Let's sing that chorus one more time. How great thou art, would you do that? Close your eyes, close in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. And may we have the wisdom, Lord, to ask for help. May we acknowledge that there are so many things in us that need to be changed and worked on, but you can do it. So I pray, Lord God, as we leave here, that each person will leave ministered to, strengthened, and willing to say, Lord, do something deep in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless all you guys. Have a great afternoon.